Anyone else? Well, if not, we want to read some scripture to kind of lead into the study tonight. Also wanted to mention that we won't have Wednesday night Bible study next week and through the month of August, but we will start in the first day of September. So this will give us kind of a little bit of a summer interlude there, but like we said, we keep announcing this, that starting in September, we want to begin a study on the book of Romans. And I think this is probably about one of the if not the most important and familiar epistles written by the Apostle Paul. So we want to kind of linger maybe a little bit on some of it. We might kind of stop a little bit along the way, chase a rabbit off the path, so to speak, about some subject that Paul writes about. But I think it'll be for our benefit tonight. All right. Yeah.
When is revival? Is that in October or September?
October.
October.
Uh-huh. October. I don't have the exact date, but 13th?
Yeah. 13th.
Okay.
That's correct.
Okay.
The
13th. 13th.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Anyone else? Okay. I'm going to read, kind of leading into the lesson tonight, out of the 11th chapter of the book of Matthew's Gospel. And the Bible that I use sometimes will have little headings to it and kind of a title to the scriptures, and it's kind of helpful sometimes, and then again sometimes it's kind of a little misleading. But in the 11th chapter of the book of Matthew, and we're going to read the 28th verse of the 11th chapter of the book of Matthew. And these are the words of Jesus as this chapter concludes, or as this chapter comes to an end. Is it what?
Are you on or?
I thought it was, just a second. Maybe I'm not. Okay.
Did that do it? Okay, good.
As we said before, technology and I don't get along too well. Okay, 28th verse, words of Jesus. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart." And this is a very important phrase here. "Ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And we want to use that scripture to kind of lead in to the second part of what we studied last week about concerning sometimes just the human feelings that we have. For example, like fear, anxiety, and tonight we want to look at depression. And we think today that it's a sign of weakness if we're depressed or if we get a little bit down, if we get the blues. But we're going to find that even the writers in the scriptures, even some of the prophets, some of the disciples themselves, when you read their writings, you can kind of see where that they may have experienced this themselves. You know, you read the Psalms, and sometimes it just tears your heart out thinking about what David was going through at the time. Pretty much, he was by himself, and all he had oftentimes was just the men, the 600 that rode with him whenever that Saul was after him. But we want to look at that for just a moment. And I don't want to make this like a medical teaching, but sometimes you have to pull the medical part into it also to understand the fullness of it. So it can be kind of a common occurrence. I don't think there's anybody on this earth that hasn't felt a little bit down, a little bit discouraged maybe, and it would persist and persist and persist. And there's nothing sinful about it today, but the problem often comes in if it just keeps on and keeps on, and somehow we feed into it. And in those kind of instances, Satan can get a foothold and start putting things into our mind and start getting us to imagining, you know, things that aren't necessarily true, but it becomes true to us because of the condition that our thinking is in. So we want to say today that that it's a not only a medical situation, but it's an emotional and sometimes a spiritual. So it incorporates those three things. That's common to us. That's what makes us what we are today. We're a threefold being. We have, you know, the emotional side, the intellectual side, and then we also have the spiritual side. So it can affect us in a negative way. As we said before, it can kind of pull us down into a deep, dark hole. It can encompass, you know, continual feelings of sadness. Sometimes we don't see a way out. We don't see that there's any hope, and actually we're almost like in darkness. Now, we haven't lost our salvation at all, but we can get so despondent. I know the times that we live in, you know, it can almost get to a person and start working on them. But when we realize that God is in control, and we have to keep that before us at all times, that God is in control. This happens even to people that are overseas, even to different religions, and so on and so forth. So it affects a lot of people. So as we go through this, we'll be talking about how that it can even affect us in our worship of God. And that's where the people of God come in. You know, we keep that fellowship. That's why fellowship is so important. You know, we lean on each other. You know, we kind of have each other's back, so to speak. And whenever that we get to visiting with someone, and we find out, well, this has been going on, this has happened, I'm feeling this way, you know, we request prayer for it. But, you know, later on, it's important to just kind of call and check and see, hey, is everything okay? Is everything all right? So we'll talk about that for just a little while. And one of the things that people will say about it, you'll hear it from other groups, you'll hear it from other Christians, that a misconception that depression is a lack of faith, that, oh, you don't have enough faith. Well, we're to have faith. We have faith in God that He'll get us through whatever that's going on. But when we're in the condition that we're in, where that, you know, we're kind of blue, we're kind of down, this keeps on or seemingly does, it's not a lack of faith. And many times it's not something that we've done. It's just an occurrence where that, you know, we're confronted with a tragedy. We're confronted with sickness. You know, we're confronted with all kinds of obstacles, and it can really kind of get to us. And someone will say, well, preacher, do you ever get despondent? I don't know if you call it despondent. I get angry. And that's why I'm trying to wean myself away from the television and what's going on. But even that can make a person kind of like, you know, what's the use? You know, we're living in an awful age. It's not a lack of faith. And sometimes people will say to you, well, you must have done something wrong. You know, you must be not living right. You must have angered God. You must not be reading your Bible enough. Or you must have done something to bring this on yourself. And times, that's not always the case. That's not always what has happened. Like I said, we got so many, we're in the information age, and we got so many things coming at us, and then that gets to working on us also, or we have tragedies in the family or sickness in the family. So at any rate, some people will tell you, well, it's a lack of faith, or you're in a bad spiritual issue or bad spiritual situation. And that's not always the case either, you know. And so we have to be careful that we don't let a well-meaning person say that to us, and then it start working on us even more. Now, we look at the people in the Bible, you know, like the prophets, some of the writers of the scriptures, and we think, oh my goodness, you know, they were just, you know, so stalwart, and they had just great faith that nothing ever bothered them. And when they went in before kings or they went into battle, you know, nothing stopped them, nothing fazed them. They were just happy all the time. Well, if you ever read some of the writings of them, or some of the things that they encountered and what they said, you know, sometimes it can be very surprising to know that they experience the blues or depression. You look at Moses. Moses had all those millions of people as he came out of the land of Egypt. And we would think, well, Moses, you know, was talking face to face with God. How great was that? Well, he was also trying to keep all these people from kind of going off the rails. I mean, he went up into the mountain in one instance to receive the law of God. And they had heard this law. It wasn't like they didn't know. But it was going to be inscribed upon stones that they would have forever and ever as a memorial. So while he was up in the mountain communing with God, receiving the law, down in the base of the mountain, guess what? They got impatient. And they began to think that Moses, something had happened to him. And so they needed to worship something. And I always get amazed and get tickled at whenever that they made this golden calf to worship, you know, that when Moses kind of called their hand on it, Aaron was one that put it together, and he said, well, Moses, they gave me all their gold, and I threw it in the fire. Well, this calf came out. And I get really tickled at that. But then other instances of where that they complained to Moses, you know, they got manna every day. And, oh, we want some meat to eat with that. Well, then God sent quail. Well, Moses, this isn't the right type of quail. We remember what we had in Egypt, and so on and so forth. So you can see how somebody like Moses would get kind of not so much angry, but just like, Lord, I could have been sitting on the throne beside Pharaoh, and here I am trying to corral all these people. But you know, God always communed with Moses, and Moses was able to accomplish that God had called him to do. And so we find that somebody like Moses oftentimes suffered from being despondent. In the 19th chapter of 1 Kings, whenever that Elijah went up to confront Ahab and Jezebel, they had just slain, Elijah just slain the prophets of Baal, And so as he went in to confront Ahab and Jezebel, you know, she said to him, well, you have done this, but tomorrow your life is going to be like their life. And so what did Elijah do? Did he stand his ground? No. He went and took off. And we're going to read from about the third verse. And it said, whenever that he saw that or heard that from Jezebel, it said he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and he came, and first of all, he sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die. Lord, take my life. I don't want anything more to do with all of this. He said, I'm no better than my fathers. And on down the line, trying to convince God that he wasn't getting anywhere, but trying to turn Israel back to God. And so God fed him with a small cake and also a cruse of water, and says, and then the angel of the Lord, 7th verse, came the second time, touched him, and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat, and he went in the strength of that meat for 40 days. Imagine that he was able, he had the strength to travel for about 40 days. And so he traveled for about 40 days, and he went to the Mount of God, Horeb. But when he got there, said he came hither unto a cave, and he lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, Elijah, what are you doing here? And he was trying to get as far away as he could. And he was probably at that state of mind that, you know, he felt like, what's the use? And, you know, sometimes we feel that way. We feel like the situations going on in the world, in our country, so on and so forth, with family, whatever the case might be, with sickness, it's just too overwhelming. But when you get to reading about how that God was able to conquer some of the enemies of Israel, how that he stood with them.
That was the Lord. He said he was doing a good job.
Well, it's funny. I'll read what came up. Said, where is God when I'm sick? Well, I'll tell you where God is whenever that we're sick and afflicted and discouraged. Where he's right there.
The meaning of depression is a constant feeling of sadness and loss of interest.
Right.
Which stops you from doing some of your normal activities.
Right.
Can it be a spiritual and a physical?
It can be. I think that the two are very closely related. And that's why that if a person goes for counseling, be careful of the counsel. You know, I think if you get a Christian counsel who can combine the science plus the spiritual, you know, sometimes just the pure science itself will not address it. In fact, it pays almost to interview the individual to see where he's going to be coming from.
So if one or the other is out of whack sometimes?
Yeah, there's a balance there.
It needs a balance for you.
There's a balance that, you know, as we said, we're like a threefold being. And one or the other, our physical gets out of whack. The person, the human part of us, or the spiritual, you know, there's a fine balance there. I think that it could be in kind of an imbalance, so to speak, among all three.
That's what they experienced in the Bible, too?
Yeah, I think they did. I think Elijah, course, we're talking about Elijah here, but I think he looked too much at his circumstances. And whenever that Jezebel said what she did to him, you know, the fear kind of set in, and then the discouragement, and then the tendency to, I want to get as far away from this place as I can. It's not working, God, your Lord. It's not working at all. So it can really throw us for a loop, so to speak. But if we keep it in mind that God is still in charge, he's not changed, he's the same towards us as he was yesterday, he's the same towards us as he was towards these prophets, towards people like Moses, Abraham, so on and so forth, David, he's still the same to us as he was to them. And even though that they got down, their strength was in him. And they sought counsel of God, and God directed them. Anyone a thought on what we've read and what we've kind of brought forth in these readings? Okay, next one we'll look at is Job. Well, if there ever was a guy that he had a reason to be depressed, it was Job. He lost his family. He lost his lands. Everything that could possibly go wrong went wrong for Job. And we find him in the third chapter of the book of Job. And in the 11th verse, Job all but just cursed the day that he died. He says in the 11th verse, why died I not from the womb? Why did I not give up the ghost when I came out of the belly? Why did the knees prevent me? Why did the breasts that I should suck? For now should I have lain still and be quiet and would have slept, then had I been at rest. You know, and this kind of tells us that escaping from it, like what he was talking about, was not the answer, and was not what he should have felt or what he should have done. But in the end, and sometimes it takes time, in the end, you know, God restored unto Job, and even more so than what he had before. And I think sometimes we forget that when we go through depression, when we go through whatever that it might be, you know, sickness, everything like that, that in due time, God's going to deliver us. He doesn't allow us to be tempted and tried above that we're able to bear. And he'll provide a way of escape. It's just looking for the way of escape. It's just recognizing that this is God providing this. So, at any rate, Job was one that is pretty well famous to us as concerning how the depression can get to the point to where that you wish he never existed. Now we go over to the 42nd Psalm. And we find David in the 42nd Psalm, and we're going to look at the 5th verse. He said, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me?" Now, David will repeat this over and over and over again. And I always wondered, whenever that I read this, you know, why did David, you know, repeat this over and over and over again? Well, I think David was trying to assure himself, you know, why am I cast down? Because God has been with me all this time. He helped me to win battles. He helped me to go up against armies. He delivered them into my hands. And so why should I be disquieted and discouraged? But he repeated it over and over. It was like he was trying to strengthen himself. And we find in one place where it says, and David encouraged himself. in the Lord. And sometimes we have to tell ourselves, just, you know, get a hold of ourselves and say, Lord, you've been with me. You've blessed me. You've done this for me. And just start going back and just counting the battles that he's won for you, and that he's been there, and that he's delivered, and he's answered prayer. And sometimes he answers prayer, we don't even realize it. You know, we pray for safety. We pray for God to watch over us, watch over our loved ones. And then whenever that we do make it safely from point A to point B, we forget this was God's mercies. He answered prayer. So David was another one that was sometimes so much in despair that he had to remind himself that God had delivered him in days past and gone. Now, there are some things that we can do ourselves about kind of protecting our heart and protecting our mind. And, you know, I look at it like this. The more that you put into your mind, the better it's going to be. But it depends on what you put into your mind. You know, just for example, like, boy, there's certain types of music that, man, it just brings back memories of what 16 years of age used to be like. But, you know, the music or the poetry or the meditation or whatever that really helps the most has been music that praises God, or music that speaks about the goodness of God. And it begins to kind of uplift. And I don't know if this ever happens to you, but sometimes here, I'll hear a song or a special song, and later through the week, it's like, man, that just keeps coming back to me, keeps coming back to me, keeps coming back to me. You know, just over and over and over again. And so that's something that God has provided for us. David sang God's praises, wrote about God's praises, wrote songs continually. I think he encouraged himself in doing that. And so listening to songs that edify, listening to scripture tapes or CDs or some device like that, sermons, you know, that always help. You know, I'll listen to a sermon by an individual, and God will reveal something that I've been trying to study and trying to figure out for a long, long time. Plus, there'll be some encouragement in it. And I believe God has these things for us because he knows that in this day and in this time that we live, there's a lot to be discouraged about. But those kind of things will encourage us. And so, not only those kind of practices, but also prayer and meditation. One cannot pray too much. Now, whenever that we say meditation, it's not like the Eastern religions type of meditation, but meditating upon the Lord, what he has done. You know, the Bible tells in one place about, is there anybody, and I can't remember if it was Moses or Rugged or Samuel, but anyway, who has a complaint against the Lord? Who can bring a complaint against him? Well, I didn't get what I wanted in the way of a car, but that doesn't mean that God didn't answer your prayer. You know, maybe he doesn't want you to have that car because you might, if you're like me, have a lead foot and drive it too fast and have an accident. God gives us exactly what we need. And if it's over and above that, glory be to God, you know, for what he's done. But if we meditate upon the goodness of God, what he is, you know, and how that he's blessed us, sometimes it's hard to just take in just how large and how massive and how understanding and full of grace and full of mercy and full of love that God is. It's hard to take it in. It's hard to take it in that at this very moment, God is holding all things together by the word of his power. And you know, that just adds to our confidence in him. Scripture reading and reflection upon what we read. You read the Psalms, and sometimes down at the very bottom of it, it'll say, Selah. And that was a Hebrew technique, where when you read this Psalm, you get to the end of it, you see that Selah, you're to think about and meditate on what you just read. Now, you may not remember it, but you think about what it's saying. Who it's talking to. It's talking to you. It's talking about God's love for you, God's protection for you today. Worship and fellowship. You know, the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Now, I believe that encompasses more than just the all of us coming together and worshiping and singing and praying and hearing the preaching. But you know, there's strength in numbers. There is strength whenever that we're all together. We lean upon each other. You know, we draw strength from one another. You know, we bear one another's burdens. It says in Galatians, bear ye one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ. And when we do that, do you know what that does? That gets our mind off of ourselves and onto someone else. And there's a blessing in helping others. It's hard to explain. In doing for others, in praying for each other, checking on one another, asking each other, you know, how are you doing? I heard that this and this and this happened. Are you okay? Is everything going well? You know, there's a blessing in that today. And I think that's one of the things that it encourages us in worship and fellowship. That's a part of it. You know, there are times whenever that, and I'm not talking about here, but I've gone to church and just like, oh man, I've got this going on, that going on. How am I going to do this? How am I going to accomplish this? But get to church and it's just like, God's taken care of. God's got it under control. He's going to take care of it for me. So we find that worship and fellowship is a part of it that helps. Now, as like Shirley said, there's a balance between the natural man, the mind, and the spiritual part. We talked about the spiritual part of it. There are times whenever that we have got to go or that we have to rely upon medicine or rely upon the medical aspect of it to help us, because sometimes these things encompass an imbalance of chemicals within the brain. And I want to emphasize this. This is nothing that tells a person that they're weak. There's no weakness in that. It's treated, if it's something that becomes chronic, then it has to be treated. Then it has to be addressed this way. Now, not always, but the reason why I bring this up is because some people will, I've had people come to me in the pharmacy and say, I'm so ashamed I'm having to take this medicine to kind of help lift my spirits. And does that mean that God doesn't love me anymore, or I'm not strong enough, or whatever? And I counseled with them, and I said, you know, think about it. God has allowed us to discover these things. He's allowed us to discover these kind of treatments, and it's for the good of everybody. And I said, it's nothing to be ashamed of or alarmed about. This distinguishes you from somebody else. It distinguishes you in the sense that you're unique to God. It's like you are the only person living upon the earth, and God is dealing with you individually. He's doing it anyway, but your individuality, your uniqueness, God loves you. And maybe this person doesn't need, you know, the medication, but maybe you do. But that's the uniqueness that God has provided something to help you with what you're going through. And it's no less miraculous. I mean, you know, the fact that God has allowed man to discover these things for the good of mankind, you know, it's just amazing. And also we mentioned about counselors. Sometimes just going to a counselor and talking to them, they can do a lot of good. They can help a lot. Now, like I said, I admit that there's some that are kind of questionable, but I think primarily if I recommend, you know, a counselor, go to a Christian counselor, because they're going to understand that balance. They're going to understand the balance between the physical part and the spiritual part. And sometimes talking it out really goes a long way. Sometimes it encompasses lifestyle changes. And I know I'm sounding like something off of TV whenever that I mention this, but sometimes in the fast-paced type world that we live in, we're going 90 to nothing. And when I was in school, I used to kind of take pride in the fact that, wow, I can pull an all-nighter, you know, study this and then jump in the car and head off and take it. You know, it was a vanity. It was a vanity. And I discovered how important that sleep and rest and taking care of yourself and taking care of what God has given you is so, so very important. Whether that it is in the realm of nutrition, or if it's in the realm of the physical, you know, God has given us, once again, these things that we can utilize. Now, we can all do our part, as we said, to help one another and have compassion and understanding with one another. I've always looked at, you know, the mental part as being just as much an important part of treatment as, you know, dispensing medication for someone who has a lung infection. It's, to me, it's basically about the same thing. And so, I want to read out of some scripture that you're probably very familiar with in Jeremiah, in the 29th chapter and in the 11th verse. This is a very familiar scripture. And whenever that we get to that point to where that we begin to think that perhaps God's deserted us, perhaps we've done something to offend God, perhaps we've done something to offend somebody else, or whatever the case might be. We find over in the 11th chapter, 11th verse of the 29th chapter of the book of Jeremiah. And this is one of those verses of scripture that wasn't just to Israel at that time, or to Judah, if you will, but it's for all of us today. He says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you." Did you know that God thinks about you? You're not being ignored by God. Whatsoever, He's thinking about you. He's watching you today. He's guiding your footsteps. And He says, "I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord." And here's what He's thinking towards us. He's thinking thoughts of peace. He wants peace for us. Peace in the midst of turmoil. You know, whenever that the Apostle Paul, you read about some of his circumstances that he was in, beaten, shipwrecked, robbed, you know, imprisoned, but yet he had peace about him. God gave that peace to him. God can give that peace to us in the midst of all the turmoil that we see around us. It's like whenever the disciples were in the ship on the Sea of Galilee, and a storm comes up and rages, and it's throwing the ship around, and it's like the turmoil sometimes that we see, or the depression, or the anxiety, or whatever might be, the fear. They woke him up and said, "Master, do you not care that we might perish?" And do you know what he did? "Peace be still. Peace be still." And it stopped. And you know, he can quell the lack of peace within us. He can still the tumultuous sea that's in us, the thoughts and the worries. This might happen, this could happen. And I read someplace, and I don't know if it's actually true or not, that supposedly Mark Twain wrote that the majority of things that we worry about and think is going to happen never happens. You know? And that comes from a guy that really was not all that religious, but he had observed that and must have had some acknowledgement that God was in control. So he said, "Thoughts of peace and not of evil." God wants peace for us. He wants the best for us. He does not want evil for us. He does not want, you know, something of wickedness to occur to us. He said, "And not of evil." But then I like that last verse, "to give you an expected end," or an end of expectation. Sometimes people will think, "I don't know what the outcome is going to be. I don't know where this world is headed." Well, there is an expectation as a child of God on our part. We know what the Bible teaches. We know what the Bible says. He's already given us the roadmap. He's already given us, you know, kind of like tomorrow's headlines, so to speak, of what's going to take place and what's going to happen. But he's going to be there guiding us through it. Now, I know probably tomorrow I'll gripe about the election and all of this and that and the other. But deep down inside, God has it under control. And many times we've just got to remind ourselves, no matter how despondent that we get, no matter how it looks like it's overwhelming, or it looks like that things are coming apart, or whatever the case might be, we tell ourselves, "God, you have thoughts of peace towards me. You're not thinking evil towards me, but you're going to give me an expected end, that you are in charge." And so I leave this with you tonight. I hope that when you rest this evening, hum a little bit of Amazing Grace before you go to sleep, or whatever your favorite song is, or find a scripture that really gives you comfort, a favorite scripture. I know for me it's the 23rd Psalm, and then the Lord's Prayer. I repeat it sometimes over and over, and it just seems like, okay, God, you're right, you're the shepherd, you're in charge. You've got this all under control. So, God bless you is our prayer tonight. God be with each and every one of you as we meet together this coming Sunday. Come back with prayer and come back with a song upon your heart and realize today God's got it under control. So, any one word, anything on your heart, before we change the service tonight.
Oh, it's just nice that we're not in control.
Yeah. 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 You know, I think the same thing. You know, when you step back and really think about it, yeah, it's good that he's the one God used and not us. Anyone else? Yeah.
I've lost two friends this last week. One was 20 years younger than I am.
Yeah.
And the other one was like 10. And I want to pray for their families.
Amen.
And the names was Gina and the other was Mary Ann. And those lovely friends would do anything for you. But I don't know that they knew the Lord. I lost contact with the one in Kansas City. That was Gina. And the one down here, when I met the Lord and started going to church, they kind of shunned me. So I think that, and I don't think that's normal for most people who are not saved.
Yeah.
But she didn't have the one daughter left. Her son died. And I believe all the rest of her family was gone. So pray for that daughter.
Amen.
And her family. So.
Okay.
Thank you.
Remember this prayer request tonight. God is not limited. God is not bound. He's not. So let's remember this prayer request tonight. Anyone else? Anything on your heart?
I'm thankful for the word, and that when we do experience times and events in our lives that bring despair and despondent in our physical life, that we can go to the Word of God. And so it just seems like there's just so many scriptures that are uplifting. And I know that you and I've talked that sometimes when you're going through a depression, going to God is sometimes the hardest part.
Yeah.
And, you know, you even turn and think God can help you. That, you know, that to me is, when Satan's trying to just pull me further away, keep me in that despondent state.
Yeah.
And, you know, to me it's so refreshing to be able to read the Psalms and to be able to relate to David, because he loved God so much, but yet he failed too. And when he pours his heart out in these Psalms, there's so many of them I can relate to.
Yeah.
And then one minute he's despair and despondent, the next minute he's just praising God.
Yeah.
And I think that's how life is.
Yeah.
But, and I'm thankful, like you said, for one another, that we can bear one another's burdens when we're going through issues in your life. You know?
Yeah.
I know when we lost our son, I don't know that I could have made it without my church people. I mean, people I work with and people in other business were super nice and kind and brought food and help. But it was God's people that put their arms around me and pulled me up and brought me through. And I'm thankful for that.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. You know, sometimes we pray and we say, maybe not specifically, bless this group of people and that group of people, but, you know, I've oftentimes found out that so-and-so was going through something or so-and-so was experiencing something. And, you know, God leads you. God will lead you to pray for somebody many times. You don't understand why. You don't know what the circumstances are, but God will lead you to pray for them. Anyone else?
When our son died, he came back from the hospital, and there were a lot of people at our house waiting for us. And I can't remember everybody, but I remember one young boy. young man that came and mowed our yard for us. And, you know, it was his way, because he had lost his older brother in a car wreck. When he heard that we lost a son, he came and mowed our yard. You know, and I still see him around town, and I'll just give him a hug every once in a while. Those are things that are, they get you through.
Yeah.
And so I just feel like every time God lays something on me, whether it's to call somebody, send somebody a text, or take some cookies, or, you know, those are just little things that I think we help encourage each other, and it blesses me when God puts that on me and allows me to do something.
Yeah.
I'm so thankful for that.
Exactly.
It's rewarding to know that there's people that want to help you, and sometimes they want to run you down, but there's also those other people out there that want to lift you and give you a hand, you know.
Yeah. It's absolutely.
Yeah.